Feminist and journalist Gloria Steinem, a pioneer who has been an outspoken champion of women's rights for more than five decades, believes that violence against women is a root cause of the global instability we see from the Middle East to right here in the United States. Steinem is the host and executive producer of a new Viceland series, Woman, which tries to depict this link and how it destroys families and communities and can disrupt society for generations to come.
The substance is different, but the way I have been able to do this is really thanks to the fact that I was at a conference of ideas put on by Google and talking about violence against women as an indicator of all other violence, and the fact that now for the first time there's so much violence that there are fewer females on earth than males, which probably is for the first time. Shane Smith, who is a co-inventor of Vice, was present, and he was very struck by that, very moved by that. I mean, literally moved. Shane attributes it to the fact that he has two daughters.
Yeah.
But I said to him, listen, I've said this to a lot of other people who had
daughters. Yeah.
And they weren't able to transcend sex and class and geography to empathize. And he was.
As you've stated, the premise here is that violence against women is a predictor of whether a nation will be violent within itself or use violence against another country. Does that rule not apply to the United States?
Which, it does apply to the United States.
So I mean, certainly America's violent history in dealing with slaves and dealing with indigenous people is one thing. But do you think violence against women predicts the impulses to invade Iraq, the wars in Afghanistan, the contemporary conflicts, and the projection of American military power right now? Because so many people in the world believe that it is America that is the most violent nation.
You know, I'm not trying to reduce everything to one element. Obviously, it's extremely complex. But if you look, for instance, now at terrorist groups, I mean, for instance, I think that this and we and other countries are trying to decide who to deal with in Syria, right? The best indicator is, are women present? Are women part of those groups? How do they treat women? If we look at terrorist groups, we will see that in the extreme, you know, that they are especially brutal to women, and that is their shared characteristic.
Tell me some of the stories here in these documentaries. There was the episode in Central Africa that really you had whole communities that were based on rape.
That's the DRC, the Congo. Yeah, right. You know, it is about sort of if you take over the means of reproduction, or, you know, it's very basic, and it's basic to the idea of masculinity, which, of course, gender is something we made up. It doesn't exist like race doesn't exist, but it is inculcated in the culture so much that it gets to be a primary dictator of behavior.
So rape is a part of the war, in your view, and how this documentary presents it. It's not just some soldiers, you know, after a hard day shooting, come back to a chaotic world and see that there's no rules, and so they take advantage of the women.
No, it is a part of the war, and I think we saw it also in Bosnia, in all the conflicts of the former Yugoslavia, right? That it was a conscious tactic. And to the degree that soldiers are told to rape by their commanding officer. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's not new. It's part of the conquering and humiliation process. And also, you know, the idea of taking over the means of reproduction of the adversary. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very, very basic.
Watching these documentaries, I was thinking to myself, I passed through the world, traveled a lot. I have never experienced any sense whatsoever when around women that I could be in danger of violence. Mm. Never. And it occurred to me that every woman in a situation with men can easily imagine that situation could become violent. And that is a huge contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be addressed in the kinds of work that you're doing here?
Well, it's great that you are addressing it, and that will encourage other people to address it because
I have three daughters. Shane only has two. I have three.
It is an example of programmed culture. so that the whole idea of what is masculine, what is feminine, you know, the old languages don't even have gendered pronouns, he and she. People are people. What a concept, you know. But with the sort of patriarchal cultures that try to control reproduction, we've grown up these constructs of masculine domination and female submission and so on, in very deep and elaborate and different ways in different cultures, but still that overall paradigm is there. So, you know, the good news about being human is that we're adaptable, right? Mm-hmm. And so the species survives. The bad news about being human is that we're adaptable. And so,
we can slip.
Yeah. And so the way we are raised causes us to think that this is the only alternative, or this is necessary, or we have to do this. And we can change it, of course. But in a sense, you might say that what happens to men is politics, what happens to women is called culture, but actually it's politics too, and we can change it.
And there's a lot of talk that even within the United States, where there is a enlightened perhaps sense of equality between men and women and people of a different sexual orientation, I mean, a sense of we're all together in the body politic, there's also a sexualization of media messages. I mean, my daughters and other women report that even as they feel more empowered sexually, there's also a sense that men are being taught to be more violent in this culture. Are we getting better or worse globally?
Well, I think we're definitely getting better. But when you look at movements for change of almost any sort, there's resistance in the beginning. Then you overcome the beginning resistance. Then more resistance comes when you are about to become the majority. And I think that's what's happening in this country in a lot of ways, because of the multiracial women's movement, because we are about to become a country that is no longer majority European American or white American. And so the people who have been raised to believe that their identity depends on being white and are in backlash, we can see that, you know, given voice by Donald Trump, you know, against the very success of the changes.
Does it concern you that many thousands, many hundreds of thousands, millions of men and women have voted with Bernie Sanders because they believe that Hillary Clinton, for her sort of progressive woman leadership identity, represents the status quo on some level, and that people are impatient with the status quo, and that being a woman isn't enough for Hillary to get elected president?
Well, being a woman is never enough. I mean, you know, I wouldn't vote for Sarah Palin. You know, I mean,
I'm shocked.
Growing up in this culture as an African American person, a female person, and African, you know, whatever, is invaluable because you know what it's like. There's nothing that can replicate that experience, and it also hopefully means you'll stand for the majority issues. But that doesn't always happen. Didn't happen with Sarah Palin. You know, there are many people who go over to the other side, you know, as a way of succeeding. I think I'm one of six lifetime Democratic Socialists because of Michael Harrington, let's say the name of this beloved man.
Wow.
You know, he wrote a book on hunger in America, which really changed, which, you know, was so profound during the Kennedy administration, and was such a good person. So I speak up for Democratic Socialists, and I'm glad that Bernie Sanders is raising issues that would not otherwise be raised. He is diagnostic. Hillary Clinton is curative, if you know what I mean. I think she knows how to make it better, not just how to say what's wrong.
You, in giving a speech at Google, inspired Shane at Vice to create this Viceland series. What do you hope this series does to possibly inspire a similar kind of transformation in people who might see these stories?
Well, first of all, it's an opportunity to be a witness. You know, I think we know that when we are in trouble, you and I or anybody else, we don't want to think that no one knows. You know, we don't want to feel invisible. So it offers the opportunity to people who otherwise could not go to the DRC or could not go to, you know, there's another one about women in prisons in this country or about Native Canadian women, or it offers a chance for them to be present and for the people in that situation to know they're being seen. And the next step is, what can we do? Now, you know, there's no one thing that everybody can do, but we're offering alternatives, and I think people will find their own ways too that we've never even thought of acting to help alleviate the situation in some way that fits into our own lives and our own talents and abilities.
This needs to be a more of a cause and less of a something happening in remote places around the world.
Yeah, it allows, you know, what allows us to empathize is our five senses. I mean, you know, we, as much as I love books and I deeply love books, it's somewhat harder to empathize off the printed page than it is when you can actually see and hear someone. And I do believe that these documentaries, which are on every continent, I want to emphasize that. It's not saying this violence exists only someplace else. It doesn't. And in fact, domestic violence in this country has killed since 9/11, if you just take the number of people who were killed in 9/11 and in two wars in Iraq and in the 14-year war in Afghanistan, more women have been murdered by their husbands and boyfriends in the United States in that period of time than have been killed in all those incidents of terrorism and three wars. So we are not exempt here by any means. If all of us could raise one generation of children without violence, we don't know what might be possible.
Gloria Steinem, feminist and social and political activist, executive producer and host of the new Viceland series, Woman. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.